Right, all right. Let's see if we can get this. Okay, good deal. Well, if you guys have been through a cycle of men's ministry before, this is actually my favorite part of what the Lord is doing at Fellowship through, again, this is not a class, this is a brotherhood. That's right. And if this is a brotherhood, that means that we don't hold men's ministry. This is not a ministry for men. If we're going to see God do a mighty work that he wants to do in this brotherhood, that means men's ministry, we got to start thinking about it as a ministry of men. It's a brotherhood that together, right, we are committed and devoted as a brotherhood to become usable men. That we want to become, by the grace of God, the men that our friends, our families, our churches, our city needs. We say this all the time, that we have a specific identity that we have been studying together over the last 6 weeks as men, because there is a particular way that our Creator, God who reigns and rules over all things, there is a particular way that he wants to use us as men. Man, here's the crazy thing that we tend to do in the church. We get together, we learn something new, or we remember something old. We have a great conversation about it, and there's significant things that happen, you know, in that conversation. Connections are made, and we kind of get realizations like, oh, that felt really good to think differently about that. But a lot of times, new information or maybe a feeling of different realization actually never becomes belief, never becomes faith. Because a lot of times we at the church tend to think of faith as either mental assent, yeah, I heard that before, it's in the Bible, I think that it's true, therefore I believe it, or we tend to think of it as kind of a good feeling, like, yeah, I feel that that's true. You know, if you have ever been in a spot in your life or had a friend tell you that's a follower of Christ, man, I'm really struggling with my faith right now. What do they tend to mean 9 times out of 10? They tend to mean, I feel tired. I feel distant from God. It's my feelings that feel kind of cold and off. I'm struggling with my faith. That's what we tend to say. Well, here's the thing. When you look at the scriptures, faith, belief, is not just mental assent or a feeling. In fact, a lot of times, faith is absent of those feelings, but it is action. I think a better translation, actually, of faith in the scriptures is trust. And so, I've missed you guys. Like, my world, as my trainer and friend Jordan back there can attest, has been, I work with him, for him, he trains me, and our world, man, has been crazier and less predictable than I even foresaw. And man, I haven't been here since week 2, so I missed you guys, but because I'm connected, I've been hearing about the stories of what's been happening at the tables. Like we say all the time, man, the material's great, the material's fine, whoever's teaching is going to be good, tonight probably average. But the power of what God is doing by the Spirit, because of how he has rigged this world to work, desires it to work, and is actively breathing his Spirit in right now to work, is through you guys at these tables. And so there's been connections that have been made. There's been friendships that have started to be built. There's been kind of aha moments, which is awesome. And again, the reason why I love this night, where we go from kind of class setting to discussion into what we're talking about tonight, which is the launch of what we call our project. It's our time to actually now do something in trust about what we've been talking about. And here's the thing. Every single time we choose to trust and act on the promises of God that we see, we will find in his timing that his promises are true and they are powerful. And so what we're going to do together for the next 4 weeks is we're just going to start scratching the surface of together starting to trust, to act in belief on what Bill started to talk about last week. And we've been saying, hey, we are created as men in the image of God to be creators and cultivators. As a man, that's our core identity. By the grace of God, we've been designed to be the way that he primarily moves in this world. People are how he moves in this world, and a man's role is to start stuff and follow through with stuff so that people around us gain life. right? God wants to use us to do those things. And because of that, because we know that Jesus goes with us and we meet him in the middle of our creating and cultivating in this life primarily, we what? Reject passivity. We accept responsibility. We invest eternally. And when I get them out of order, I always forget the fourth one in front of you. And that means that invest eternally, we lead courageously, right? And that is a inspiring, exciting picture, a vision of the identity that we say we have received by the grace of God that we've kind of huddled around for 6 weeks. Hopefully some of us have seen things in a new light, been reminded of things, been inspired by each other. But what Bill started to say last week is that if that just remains generic for just dudes out there, we're going to fall short of really knowing our God until we start to see that creation and cultivation applied in specific ways, but the nature of the sovereign design of God in our life and the near and close activity of our God in our lives in the way that you as an individual man have been designed to be a creator and cultivator. Because it is unique for each and every one of you. And here's the sad truth about most men. In fact, about most people. Very few people and very few Christians who alone have the opportunity through the revelation of God to know our truest self, both created in his image and created specifically in that intimacy with our God through Jesus Christ. Very few of us actually take the time, expend the effort, buy into the journey to actually discover what our particular identity and callings are. And the role tonight is just to introduce these 4 weeks where we're going to start going, hey, we're going to take some baby steps towards this. We want to give us a taste of what it might be like in the hopes that some of you, I'd love to see all of us, but the hopes that some of us will then step in courage, in faith, and in great sacrifice together to go deep into this, because this is a lifelong journey. But if we would start to take the time, if we would open ourselves up into seeking the Lord where he promises to be found, because he desires to create and cultivate in specific ways in and through us, we will find him and we will find life. Now, Bill spent a long time talking about the parable of the talents that Jesus was talking about, that Jesus told in Matthew 25. I don't want to wax too eloquent because I've already taken longer than I even wanted to, just kind of getting all excited about being back here and having an introduction to get us into that. But you see the text out in front of you there. I think it's worth maybe reading together again quickly, because there's three things that we tend to miss in this pretty familiar parable. So Jesus is talking, he's about to be crucified. I think it's a day or so before he's going to be enthroned as king on the cross. And he is saying then, looking ahead, he's saying, look, there is coming a time where even though I'm being enthroned as king, my kingdom is going to fully come in the crushing of evil. But it's not going to be right now. He's trying to prepare his disciples, his apostles. It's going to be a long wait. It's not going to be what you expect, because very rarely is God's plan what we expect. And he tells a couple of pretty strange parables. You know, one about, you know, some virgin, you know, wedding attendants with lamps, and some have enough oil and some don't. And, you know, just the parties waiting. And then he gets to this talents parable. And usually we're just kind of like, okay, the moral of the story is stay busy because Jesus might be watching, right? Way better than that. Way more than that we'll see here in this parable. This is actually Jesus' instruction to us in the ways in which you and I in our daily lives can be a part of the stuff with him of eternity, okay? Let me read this through real quick and call out three things we tend to miss. It's incredibly good news. Let's read this. Matthew 25:14, it says this, "For the kingdom of heaven, waiting for the kingdom of heaven, which is the context of this parable, will be like a man going on a journey who called to each of his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. It's in bold. This is going to be important. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. And then the 2 talents did, you know, doubled that to the 2 talents. But then he, in verse 18, had received the 1 talent, went and dug in the ground, like Bill was saying last week, hid the master's money. And so after a long time, the servant came back, or the master came back to settle accounts with them. Verse 20. He said, he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. I've made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Same thing goes down with 2-talent guy. What does he get? Man, you've been faithful with little. You're going to get much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he who had received the 1 talent came forward in verse 24 saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground, and here you have what's yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed? Well then, you ought to have instead of invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have at least received my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there's a lot going on there, and that can be a terrifying parable, but there's 3 things about this parable that is incredibly good news when it comes to what we're calling each other to wade into in these next 4 weeks in really seeking God for what our particular identity and calling is. First thing is this. The first thing we tend to miss in that is that each man is given to his abilities, right? That may seem unfair at first, being like, oh man, come on, you got more than me. Well, the point of the parable is not who got more, who got less. It's all about the master's task. So we are not going to compare our gifts, our talents, our callings, who we are and our identities with somebody else. The whole point is for you to be faithful in who you are and what God has gifted you to do. And the reason why that's fair, the reason why that's good news, is that you don't have to be anybody else except for yourself. To be with your master in creating and cultivating your family, for example, you don't have to be the most energetic and fun dad ever. No, you be yourself. To be a discipler of people, to see God use you in the lives of others, you don't have to be this incredibly bold, charismatic individual. You have to be yourself where you are at. And that second point of good news, man, God is calling you to be who you are, where you are at, nobody else, nowhere else. The reason why that is fair, equitable, and good news is because of the second point. What's the reward of both of those men, whether they had 5 talents or 2 talents? The reward for those men is the joy of their master. What we stand to gain, men, in knowing who we are, our identity and calling, is Jesus Christ himself. And that's something we don't compare. And it's so easy for division to creep in to the family of God and be like, man, he's a better Christian than I am. He's got a more fruitful ministry. No. If you are faithful and join Jesus in the gifting he has gifted you with, in the calling he has called you to, what you will find in ever-increasing measure is more of Jesus. And that, the living person of Jesus Christ, is what unites us all, is what satisfies the core of our soul. And there's not comparison in that, there's unity. So you be who you have been designed to be. You serve your master where you have been sent to serve your master. And what we will gain together is more of Jesus, his joy. But then the third servant, what about him? And the thing is, it's not that he didn't do right. It's not that he didn't serve enough. It's not that he blew it all and didn't do what he was supposed to do. The core issue, the root issue, is that he actually never knew the master. Right, what about the story says that this master is a hard man that reaps where he doesn't sow and doesn't gather where he scatters seed? Nothing about this master says cruelty or firm-handedness, a lack of generosity. The master's kind of mocking him, being like, look, you think that's who I am. You didn't even live according to who you think I am. The problem is this man doesn't know his master. And guys, as we lean further and further into, man, who am I really? And what am I called to do? Some of you guys, even over the last 6 weeks, may have been developing this sneaking suspicion that I may not actually know Jesus. And you've heard guys around your table talk about the Lord, and you've seen intimacy, and you've seen life enjoying them, and you're going, I don't know if I have that or if I know that. And that's fine. That is great. In fact, that is the sovereignty of God working in you. And coming to know your identity and calling is a step towards knowing God, just as knowing God is a step towards knowing your identity. John Calvin, not Martin Luther, another great reformer, but this is what John Calvin says. He says, nearly all wisdom that we possess, that is to say, true and sound wisdom, consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. If we're made in the image of God, we cannot know God as we should in depth without knowing ourselves. As we come to know ourselves, we'll come to know God more and more. That's both what we're designed to do, and that's also in how, in our sin, we're a corruption of his image, and we need the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ that he moves in to fill. And so, man, let me tell you this. As we're looking at our lives and wanting to understand and know and invest in discovering our own individual identity and calling that we can personally know the Lord, there is an eternity of difference between actually serving a master and just wanting God's help. That's what we're after. The service of a master in whose image we are created. And then when we bend the knee, when we trust him and receive from him who it is that we are, and obey and follow him in what we are called to do, we will receive fullness of everlasting life, which is the living person of Jesus Christ himself. It's a journey. And the good news is it's a journey that can start tonight. And it's a journey that, by its very definition, can start nowhere else but where you are at right now. That is very good news. And so, here's the thing. This is a journey that so few of us take. And maybe it's just because we're kind of given a cookie-cutter kind of type of Christianity a lot of times in North American Christianity. Attend church, be in a Bible study, serve in the children's ministry, and you're good. No, it is deeper and more profound than that. We've been talking about this entire 6 weeks. We are creators and cultivators. The primary way that the living person of Jesus wants to bring life to the world around us. And so, guys, let's explode this I just come to church idea and really get down into knowing our master. A lot of us don't go into this journey because it feels kind of a selfish thing. I'm not really supposed to think about myself that much, am I? Some of us are like, well, it's the grace of God, and so, and he's good with whoever I am and whatever I'm doing. You know, aren't I forgiven? I go to heaven. Well, no, he cares intimately about what your life's like, and his grace is found in your calling, in your identity. And I think most of us, though, are just too friggin' busy. That's my problem. Now, I'm standing in front of you guys exhausted. And it is so hard on a daily basis for me to actually believe that my investment in actually knowing my God and knowing myself is going to give me the life that I need because I feel like I'm so drained out. But guys, the promise of God stands before us that in knowing him and in knowing him, truly knowing ourselves and both how we're gifted and how we are sinful and need redemption and rescue is the only place that life can be found. It is a journey. It is a journey. All we are going to do is just barely scratch the surface. And see, the thing that we see in the scriptures is that this is the design of God for the redemption of his people. I'm going to skip down to the end. Robert Clifton, you see these notes in front of you. This is just kind of help us give us some categories to start this journey. And tonight, here's the goal. We just kind of want to locate ourselves on the course of this journey together. If we're going to spend 4 weeks together, where are each of us starting? And this table, one of the great things about your table is that you might have men in different points of their journey, and each and every one of you have something from your journey to contribute to the rest of the men around that table, okay? Not an accident, we're here together, okay? Tonight, we're going to locate ourselves. Next week, we're going to talk about, okay, well, what does that mean to be who I am, where I'm called to be? And then the last 2 weeks, we're actually going to evaluate what we functionally believe, what we really, really believe about who we are and what we're called to do. We're going to take a look at our lives. And what does that really say? And if you like what God's doing, we're going to give you a whole bunch more resources to keep chasing in this journey. But this biblical researcher, Robert Clifton from Fuller Seminary, who clearly had a lot of time to look into this, actually looked at the lives of over 1,000 leaders in the kingdom of God, be they in the Bible or in the history of God's people, including Jesus' life, and he found actually 7 common stages in this journey of identity. And they're there before you. He says, everyone starts with sacred foundations. And these are the things that are the first stages of your life. You really have no control over these things. The family you're born into, your socioeconomic status, the year you were born, the events you were growing up. Just basically the things that form your base assumptions that many of you don't even know that you had until you got married, if you're married. If you're not married yet, you have no idea the things that you think just are right and true because you're breathing. It's humbling. But every single one of us have just these sacred foundations that have shaped us that we're not even aware of. So we start with those. And then we move into this phase of discovery. And this is where we're actually starting to learn about ourselves a lot of times through just the difficulties of life. Guys, and remember that first job when you really just kind of get punched in the mouth and the world's not quite as easy and just kind to you as you thought it was? FICA is a dirty thief and oh my gosh, you're discovering now things about life and yourself. You move into this difficult time of discovering. Then you step out. As you're stepping out, then you're starting to grow in your identity. You're really getting formed then into having some sort of an idea of where you're going. And then as you're stepping out, as you're progressing, you start to get good. Now, this is something, man, I'm struggling with right now. Man, I want to be good at my new job right out of the gate. And the unfortunate truth is that statistically, scholars, Malcolm Gladwell leading the way, says it takes about 10,000 hours for you to get good at anything, to master something, to become good, beyond proficient, an expert at any skill, 10,000 hours. That's about a decade. And so in our journey, there's things we're moving into. We're starting to become proficient. We're starting to become good. We're getting good. But then, man, just when we think, man, all right, this is getting easy, I'm starting to understand this, we hit the wall. And it's that dark night of the soul that is almost guaranteed in our lives and sometimes at several points in our lives. It's that marathon runner when they hit the wall at mile 20 or 21. It feels like, man, I can't go on. I've got nothing left. I don't even know what God is doing right now. But this wall, this phase, if we push through it, then we find that on the other side of this wall, things are so much better than what we were before. Most of us have that experience in our life where we go, man, I never, ever want to go through that again. And at the same time, I would not trade for anything what was formed about me, what I learned, and how I grew from it, right? The wall. That's a part of this journey. And then as we move through the wall, as we move into this new understanding of ourselves and our identity, then we move into this phase of staying fruitful and faithful. With this identity, calling, shaped, man, we keep on the road and we keep working. And what that finishes up with then is ending well. Very few men do this. We get derailed. We give up. We have an enemy that wants to destroy us. But the joy of ending well is pushing through the disappointment of life, things unrealized, and seeing the faithfulness of God. I don't know if you know, I mean, just one of the cool things about our fellowship is that we are blessed with men who have seen the faithfulness of God for decades and decades, and they're living smack dab in the middle of it, and that's the source of their love and their joy and their life for us. They're in the middle of this right now, and we are benefiting from that. Don't you want to be that man? I want to be that man. Ending well. And then that last thing, that afterglow. That yes, you're ending well and you're continuing to have fruit and you enjoy it to the glory of God. And when our time is over, death for the Christian, death that has no sting like the Bible talks about, is knowing that it's just a transition into the fullness of the presence of the God who we know and have been serving. That's our journey. And a lot of us are on different parts of this journey in life overall, and within individual roles in our life, we find ourselves in that same kind of journey. Man, I'll have those same kind of phases as a parent, as a husband, as an employee, as an empty nester. Right? That cycle repeats itself over and over and over again. And that's what we want to start talking about then tonight. Where are we on our journey? Can we together slow down enough to start thinking intentionally about just who am I as I'm created in the image of God, and where is he calling me to? Because man, your creator and the life that is found in him for you is most profoundly going to be in doing what you have been gifted to do, where he has placed you to do it. And once again, the good news is that journey starts nowhere else but where you're at tonight. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters says this. It's a demon trying to destroy a Christian, and it's a great book. It's written, you know, obviously as a metaphor or a satire. What I'm talking about? It's a literary device that is not literal. Let's put it that way. But basically, the key that this demon is saying to destroying or making ineffective a follower of Christ is to get them thinking either about the past or the future and keep them from locating themselves in the present. Because for us as finite creatures, the presence and the power of God in Jesus Christ is nowhere for us but right now. The only place that you can know Jesus, the only place that you can hear Jesus, the only place that you can follow Jesus is right here in this room tonight, which can be where you and I together start this intentional process of trying to pursue God and listening to him so we can receive our own particular identity and calling and then see what he does. So this is just a taste, right? Did you guys hear that? I've said it like 15 times. It's a taste. It's a four-week little scraping of the surface. This can and probably will take decades, and it's going to be absolutely worth it. Don't you want to be that man that's looking back at your life, and you're seeing the life that by the grace of God, as you, with Jesus in deep intimacy, look back and see the life and the joy and the help and the hope that you have brought to the lives of many through the creation and cultivation of the story that is your life by the grace of God. I said, that's what we're doing together. We'll step into this. We want to resource this, and tonight, let's go. So you'll see the questions in front of you. And again, I get crazy with the cheese whiz like I always do. I'm so sorry. But I feel like I've got to explain this real quick. Okay, this was written, it's awesome, it's really good, by an engineer. Ken Thornton is awesome. And some of y'all will be like, yes, a grid. Some of you guys are like, I don't know. I don't know. All right. All this is a tool to slow down for 5 minutes and think critically about different roles of your life, how it's going, and maybe, remember those 8 stages we talked about? Maybe where on this, in this role, where in this journey, what stage of the journey maybe am I on? Am I getting good? Am I just starting out? You know, have I hit the wall? And this is just be a way to catalyze conversation that comes on. Don't freak out about this. Don't make it too complex. If there's roles that you know that you're playing in your life that aren't on there, feel free to cross out that pre-typed up sheet and write in your own role. That's all this grid is in front of you. That makes sense? So guys, I hope you guys will commit to each other to chase this and do moving out of here. If you're looking around and being like, man, I'd love to do this, but I don't really know if I've got a group of guys to do this with me, hop into any one of these tables. And at the end of this deal, if you guys are going, yeah, we know it's been a 6-week thing, I can't do this deal, we can cobble together different groups too. So Matt, myself, Bill, Steve, would love to help you guys put together a group that really wants to chase this together. But till 8 o'clock, let's get on it, let's chase it. So, man, love getting back with you guys. Excited to hear about what all the Lord's been doing and excited to see about what is ahead. So, guys, get on after it.